Well, hey, good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Well, he's talking about sliding in to a home plate. I just walked in the door and heard the closing prayer. We had a good time with middle school teen camp. Funny moment last night when around the fire pit over here, I extended an invitation after sharing the word for an hour, and the invitation was something to the effect of, I know I'm talking to mostly church kids who have made at some point or another a profession of faith, probably in Sunday school or with their mom and dad, I know that. Now they're 11, 12, 13, and I said, knowing what you know now, the season of life that you've come to, I mean, this is a carefully worded question. If the Spirit of God is dealing with you, or if you're under conviction that you should, is it possible that you need to actually surrender your heart to Christ? You need to actually surrender to the Lordship, make Him the Lord of your life, not just somebody your dad knows as Lord or your mom, not just somebody you're acquainted with, well acquainted with. A lot of people well acquainted with Christ. But is the Lord dealing with your heart that you should actually confess your need for Christ and receive Him as your Lord? And a couple hands went up, and in the dim light, I'm saying their name. I see you. That's good. I commend you. And the second, and again, it was dim light. I said the wrong name. And instantly, there's a middle school boy, 11 years old, concerned that the wrong person is not being commended, and B, I'm a Christian, okay? I'm a Christian. I know exactly what's going on when the little guy, God bless him. No, it was him. Him, it was him. Just want to clarify, which was cool. It was. Today we were up on, we did a hike, you know, up on Parkman Mountain, which usually you get to overlook Soames Sound and the scenery, but today all you can see is about 50 feet in front of you, that's all, and was up in the clouds. It was a great opportunity to talk to them about, you know, Mount Hermon and the Lord taking a hike, taking three with Him, going up there and then unveiling. It was a good time. The Lord did, He met us up there. Truly was a good time. I left them. I assume they're running around Bar Harbor now. I don't know. Hopefully they'll be back before you got to go home. Traffic is ridiculous down there, so that is kind of questionable. I'm sure Travis will be in communication with you, but you know how it is down there, and the whole world is hiking, and then it rains, and they all leave the trail and all get on the road, everybody, at the same time. So that's my skating in here, sliding in home plate. Proverbs chapter 8. Keep teen camp, which starts on Monday. Keep that in your prayers. And may the Lord meet all our teens. May His Spirit come and move among us as He has done in the past. I remember last year how the Lord moved. And it's only the Lord. Now, I won't say what I was about to. Yeah, well, every time teen girls have something happen between them and the Lord, it's a deeply emotional event. Now, that's good. I'm not criticizing that. I'm not being a man. I'm just saying that they always end up on each other's shoulders crying through decisions about the Lord. You know that's true. Well, I know it's true. I see it enough. And I do my best not to make this an emotional thing. I do. I'm like, just calm down. I'm just saying, you need the Lord. And when they finally make the decision, most of them, the teenage girls, are like, and they just start crying. It's a rare thing for that to happen to the males. And I'm not trying to make that happen. That's not my objective. It's not my goal. But it certainly did. Last year, the way the Lord moved in our campfire back here in the corner, in the midst of COVID camp, right? We're the way the Spirit moved, the way he came upon young men that were crying to the point that all dignity was gone. Just cry, blow those snot bubbles, and they were like, they were just, it didn't matter. It's just what the Lord is doing, and then this conviction for sin, and only the Lord does that. It wasn't any amount of preaching and whipping people with, what are you doing? And you can do that. That can be done. You know, preachers can. I was doing the preaching. The Lord moved, I'm telling you. There wasn't any whipping. It's just Holy Spirit conviction. Let's pray that that'll happen again. Please join me in that, will you? Lord, I don't know everybody, and I don't know if we're going to have a whole bunch of teens that need repenting, but I know this, every one of us here, all of us want you to visit them. They come together for camp and for adventure and to get to know each other better and fellowship. All of those things are important, but the most important thing is that we come together and your voice reaches through to everyone's heart. That people hear you and they hear your call and respond. Please prepare the hearts of the teens now, Lord, and these coming back. Protect our bus and bless them in every conversation. I do pray, Lord, that they would return to tonight to find that parents are blessed and pleased, that something happened between them and you, even if they can't effectively articulate it. I pray that in the name of the Lord. Illuminate our understanding of this that's before us now. Amen. Proverbs 8:1, doth not wisdom cry? All right, so you remember we had this other lady, I use the term loosely, that this other woman, this seductress, flattering as she did. Remember how Solomon said, I looked out my window, I saw somebody profoundly stupid. That's a paraphrase. We ask, how did he know that? How could you tell that from that distance? Stupid. Well, it was because of where he was and when. When and where. He was in the place that only a stupid guy would be. And she caught him. She did. That's exactly what it said back in chapter 7, verse 13. She caught him. He got caught. He got snagged. He's being reeled in with flattery. Well, there's another. I made the case to you that while, yes, we ought to warn our sons, and I think Solomon was, about the forbidden woman, that we ought to warn our daughters about the forbidden man, or something about the forbidden man. You gotta, dads, you really gotta, and moms too, you make sure that your daughters are able to discern between something that looks like leadership and is impressive, something that looks like courage, but it's actually just rebellion. What is it that draws a young woman to think about this bad boy and see him as a potential hero for her? Until she's stuck with him. And she discovers his cruelty and tyranny. That it wasn't what it looked like. It was an illusion. Warn them about that illusion. And all you ladies who have the story, that you saw that and you thought that that was something impressive, and you were fooled. You were caught by that. You thought, that's leadership. That's courage. That's so manly. No, he's just a punk. And then you ended up outgrowing him. Maturity-wise, you just actually, you know, he's still back there. He's still just, the bad boy is still the bad boy. Let's focus on boy for a second, not bad. Remains a bad boy way past boy season. And it's not cute. It's kind of like the Backstreet Boys revival tour. It's not cute at all. It's disturbing. And when you see the guy who should be a man by now, he's still just a boy. And he treats the woman that he caught like something that he owns. Well, while we should warn about the forbidden man, we should warn about the forbidden woman. The real forbidden woman is, again, it's a personification of something bigger, something that's after all of humanity, and that is the wisdom of this world, the flattering world system that wants to take people to hell. So if that is the case, and I believe it is, then it's, you've got to compare her, that way of thinking, that way of looking at life, compare it with chapter 8. Here's a woman. She's the personification of the very wisdom of God. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. By the way, that's right, by the road, not in obscurity. You don't have to go looking for her in some Himalayan peak. You don't have to go on some crazy quest. She is right in the middle of town. She's right there on the side of the road, the highest place. And what's she doing? She's going, got your wisdom, wisdom, get your wisdom here. She cries at the gates, verse 3, at the entry of the city. That's interesting because that's where the elders would be in Israel. Solomon writes this to his son, and Solomon's son knows that. That's where you find the elders. That's where matters were settled. That's where you went to go and get wisdom, at the entry of the city, coming into the doors. And what is she doing? What is wisdom? She's like this woman, not hiding somewhere, not some back street girl. She is out in broad daylight. Look at verse 4. Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of man. Oh, he's simple. That's the problem. The problem is, takes just a little dose of wisdom to recognize you're stupid. And she's calling out to the stupid. Oh, ye simple. Oh, ye stupid. Oh, ye simple. And the simple are like, are you talking to me? I don't think so. Oh, you simple. Understand wisdom, and ye fools. And you can imagine the fools going, hello. No, they don't. They don't answer to that. They don't realize it. Man, it's a rare thing. It's a miracle of God for any one of us to finally come to the place where we go, wow, I'm stupid. That's a miracle for us to go, wow, I need to learn stuff. It's a rare thing. You guys know what I'm talking about. You don't see it much in your life. Have you? No, of course not. Especially among the dumbest. The dumbest think they're the smartest. But she's calling out. You fools, be of an understanding heart. She cries out, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. Excellent and right. For my mouth shall speak truth. There's another thing coming out of her. And the only, what was the only thing coming out of that other one? Flattery. Lying. Compliments, flattery, you. Remember, it was back here. This one, everything that comes out is excellent. It's right. I speak truth. My mouth shall speak of truth, verse 7. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward. Again, in your King James Version, always make froward perverted. The word froward equals in English perverted in modern vernacular, or crooked. There is nothing froward, nothing crooked or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. I was, with regard to knowledge, there's such a thing as, brace yourself for this, there's such a thing as wrong knowledge. What is often called knowledge is non-knowledge. The great quotable Ronald Reagan said, it's not that our liberal friends don't know anything, Reagan said. They just happen to know so many things that are wrong. There's a video going around the World Wide Web, getting all kinds of attention, San Francisco men's choir singing, "We're Coming for Your Children." You've probably already seen it, haven't you? Coming for your children. They boast that. They're coming for your children. And that they're going to convert their children to not be your children, to not be haters. And then your children are going to change your mind. And truthfully, that is happening. That's happening in the world of education. My generation is having its mind changed by its children. That's true. It is actually happening. But in that video, among the things that they sang is that we're going to teach them not to be afraid of knowing things, of knowledge. And they mockingly go, like information. We're going to keep things from them, like information. Let's just not allow them to pretend that they, on that side, don't censor the truth. Oh, they're scared of information. That's why Christ is unwelcome in school. That is why intelligent design, though completely scientific and intensely reasonable, is not allowed. It challenges the religion of evolution. They pretend to be all open-minded, never into censorship at all. They are the worst of all censors. But wisdom says, her words are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. In other words, this is the thing you want. This is the thing that will make you truly rich. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You can't compare anything that you could attain to wisdom, because wisdom gets you everything. Wisdom's better than rubies. All things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, she says, I dwell with prudence. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. Fear the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the froward, the perverted, crooked mouth do I hate. Who hates? Wisdom hates. The fear of the Lord is to hate. No, hate is a family value. You were told wrong. If you love, everyone loves and everyone hates. Everybody that says, don't be a hater, hates. They hate haters. If you love anything, you hate everything that challenges the object of your love. You hate anything that threatens the object of your love. Love and hate go together. If you truly love, you truly hate. Everyone does already. But here, fear of the Lord is to hate evil, not think it's cute, not be, do not allow your children to be numb in the world of virtual reality, especially your sons. Watch out in the world of virtual reality, the world of simulators, that what is truly evil is portrayed as cute and harmless. Or even at earlier stages of kids, I don't know, I'm sure it came and went, the whole silly little Pokemon, little pocket monster fad, and casting spells and manipulating the universe, and I'm just saying, it is never cute. Halloween time comes around, there's nothing cute about evil, and that's the effort to make it look cute. Fear the Lord is to hate it, in whatever form it comes in, to actually hate it. Pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. Wisdom says, I hate those things. Wisdom says, in verse 14, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom, I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. It should be a woman's voice here. Wisdom is personified here as a lady, and she says, it's by me that kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, verse 16, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Wisdom says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. How about that one? Those who seek shall find. Wisdom is that accessible. Wisdom is that easily found. That readily available. Those who seek me find, she says. Seek me early. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is bitter than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. See, that's the deal. Wisdom leads in the way of righteousness. It is utter foolishness that leads one in the ways of wickedness and sin. It's not wisdom. In the way of righteousness. Think about this one. In the midst of the paths of judgment, verse 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. This is the deal, you guys. The whole universe was established by wisdom. God expressed his wisdom, and everything that exists came to be. Here Solomon makes wisdom a lady who speaks. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. What was before all of that? Wisdom. God's wisdom. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Well, as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. It's really beautiful, isn't it? It's really poetic. Solomon writing to his son. There's a lady. I was there when he set a compass upon the face of the depth. In verse 28. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Wisdom was his delight. God loves wisdom. Rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth. And my delights were the sons of men. The climax, the ultimate in God creating was creating man in his own image. Wisdom says, my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That's what wisdom says. Hate wisdom? You love death. Reject her, you're choosing another. You're choosing foolishness. Rejecting wisdom is always choosing foolishness. Foolishness will always bring destruction and chaos. Continuing, chapter 9, verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house. What a gal. She built her house and hath hewn out her seven pillars. Did it herself. Seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. That's a girl. There's a woman for you. She hath mingled her wine She hath also furnished her table. What a gal. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city, and she's still crying the same thing. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. That's what she said, and she didn't sound like that either. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. So, what is this woman back in chapter 7? Foolishness. It's the wisdom of the world. The one you gotta look out for who will stroke your ego to kill you. And wisdom, she won't flatter you. She's gonna call you stupid. She's gonna call you a fool inviting you in. She's gonna go, hey, simple, come on, I got what you need. She won't flatter you. She'll hurt your feelings. She'll offend you while she's making you rich, while blessing you. So that in verse 6, forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. I'm going to remind you again, right now, at this point in our study, the secular thinking right now is all about knowledge. They harp about it. They think knowledge is the ultimate knowledge. And everybody who is not in agreement with them, they just lack information. They lack information. It's just a matter of education. We can just know who these people are who vote like that. We can educate them. If we could just get them all together and put them in camps and re-educate them, it's ignorance. That's all it is. So they think you're ignorant. They think they are wise because they have knowledge. Knowledge is not wisdom. Knowledge is not the chief thing. Knowledge is not the most important thing. No, not at all. Wisdom is. Without wisdom, knowledge is worthless. Without wisdom, you don't even know what to do with knowledge, what little you have. Wisdom. Wisdom is greater. Wisdom and understanding. Verse 7, some little bites of wisdom for us. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Now, is that saying, don't reprove a scorner? Is it saying, don't rebuke a wicked man? No, it's just saying, don't expect it to go well. Don't expect him to thank you. You'll see more of that. The scorner, the wicked, they're not going to respond. We'll go on to see that a wise person actually receives and weighs out reproof and correction. If somebody's telling you off, a real wise person actually receives and goes, well, let me think about that for a second. Is there any truth in it at all? Can I sift through it and find me a little nugget? Is there even a nugget that I can say, all right, I'll give you this much? Or are you too prideful to do that? And you just go, oh, get out of my face. Don't you patronize me. I'm going to tell you a few things wrong with you. That's what the fool does. The fool, you know, so again, reprove a scorner. It's going to be, you know, it'll produce shame and rebuke a wicked man. And he'll get a blot, but it's not like he's going to be better for it. Shame, a blot. But verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee. So if you rebuke a scorner, he's going to be mad at you about it, deeply offended. He'll hate you. You rebuke a wise man. He may not like it. He may not like nobody likes it. But ultimately, he'll go, all right, you know what? Thank you. Thank you. You've done me good. He will actually, that's one of the ways you know. One of the ways you can tell, are you the scorner or are you the wise man? How do you act when somebody tells you something wrong with you? That's one of the very revealing things. If you go, well, I never. If you find yourself going, oh, yeah? Well, at least I'm not. And surely you got something on them, right? Yeah, well, at least I'm not a Pharisee, man. Heard that one a lot. Living in a dorm with men. In a dorm where men are trying to get spiritual. Somebody rebukes someone else. And you can tell right away, is that a fool that he just rebuked, or is that a wise man by his response to the rebuke? Always remember that, fellas, while you're in this situation, before you go get married or return to your wife. How about in that relationship? It is a proof of what one is when they are rebuked. And like married people rebuke each other a lot. They have a freedom that everybody else didn't have. I mean, there's not that many people that are really going to tell you what they think. How do you respond? Because here in verse 9, he says, likewise, give instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he'll increase in learning. Verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's your starting point. That there is a God, and he is to be feared and reverenced and respected. That's your starting point. That's the beginning of wisdom. Why is that the beginning of wisdom? Because wisdom is actually coming to a place of agreeing with him, seeing it his way, knowing that he knows more. It's the beginning. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In other words, if you don't have any knowledge at all of God, you cannot truly have understanding, as the scripture describes it. Verse 11, wisdom continues to talk, and she says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied. What a woman wisdom is. She's like, I'll make you live longer. And the years of thy life should be increased. Now, everyone in this room knows that foolishness will do the exact opposite. Everybody knows that, right? Everybody knows that real foolishness will cut years off your life. An aggressive disagreement with God, whereby someone just goes about living willfully their own way in defiance of God, every one of those choices will take their toll. Something that when I was still in high school was not only was it legal to say back then, our teachers were expected legally to inform students in a health class that a homosexual lifestyle will in fact take 20 years on average off your longevity. That number did not change, but you know what did change? Not only are you now not obligated to speak that truth in our school system, you are now forbidden to speak that truth. It's against the law. Doesn't mean it ain't true. That was something that I've spoken many times about my middle school science teacher, who also taught health, Lauren Zeesensee, who stood right here with me the day I presented our little infant, Benjamin Lawrence Graves. And that Lawrence was to honor that man. Stood up here with me that day. His career in education was short-lived because he came into education after they kicked God out of school, and he watched this happen. He watched it, it happened while he was a teacher. None of the information changed. None of the statistics changed. But you are no longer allowed to make those statistics known. Well, unless it's cigarette smoking. Okay, you can. They're obsessed on that one. They'll tell you. If you smoke cigarettes, it's incredibly unwise. You're going to take years off your life. Your longevity is going to be shortened. There are a number of things that you can do that are truly foolish. They're against the design of God. Against God's design is going to take its toll and catch up with you, right? Heavy drinking, drunkenness. You're wiping out all kinds of blood cells. Brain cells, I mean. You're wiping brain cells out by the... I mean, who among us can
afford to lose any. And we need every single cylinder firing. We need them all.
But those things that are truly foolishness, how you know they're foolish is they will, in fact, shorten your life. Wisdom says, by me, your days will be multiplied. She says, the years of your life shall be increased. You want to live long? Live wise. Verse 12, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. You are the primary beneficiary of being wise. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. You're ripping yourself off if you scorn wisdom. If you reject it, if you scorn wisdom, who's it going to hurt? Primarily, you, the scorner. Verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. Amen to that. She's literally full of noise. Do you guys know what clamorous meant? I didn't say it. She said it. That was her that said that. Foolish woman is clamorous. She's just full of noise. There's always something coming out of her. She's simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So who is wisdom referring to once again? A foolish woman is clamorous. All right, she's hearkening back to chapter 7. That which is forbidden, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten secret is pleasant. That's a lie. It really is a lie. But she's offering sweetness and pleasantness. The world is offering a whole spectrum of vices. But every one of them have their massive price tag. He, the really stupid, it's funny, isn't it, that both of these women are calling out to the simple, both of them. Chapter 10, verse 1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon. This is where he starts with them. After that big old, you know, 9-chapter introduction. He goes, all right, let me give you a little increments of wisdom. Here's your first one. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Well, let's talk about a glad father, a proud glad father. There's an implication here that moms can be a little more gracious and find some way to be proud. It's harder to make your father proud. But a wise son, he'll make a glad father. But the foolish son is heaviness even to his mother, even to your mom. Way more gracious. She's experiencing the heaviness. Verse 2 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. There's no real profit in the treasures that you gain by crime. Righteousness, it'll save your life. It's that kind of precious thing. Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. You know, God's going to be there. The soul of the righteous, he will not allow you to famish. He's going to meet your need, but the substance of the wicked, he casteth it away. It's almost like the wicked are the agent of the judgment of God on themselves by just scattering all their substance. Four says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Isn't that profound wisdom? The slack, non-diligent, they produce poverty. But the diligent, the hand of the diligent, being consistent, staying at it, the Well, that'll produce wealth. Diligence, it'll make you rich. Verse 5 says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in a harvest is a son that causes shame. Well, now how many of you guys know that reality about farming? But when things come ripe, it's now. It's not, there is no procrastination at harvest time. You either get it now or it's all going to be wasted. It's all going to be gone. It's a limited time to get all of that harvested. Gathering in summer is a wise son, but the one who sleeps in harvest, what a disgrace. Verse 6, blessings are on the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So, blessings raining down on the head of the just. Verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, that's true. What are people going to remember when you're gone? You and me? You were engaged in good works. They will talk about them. I'll tell you what they're not going to talk about when you're dead. What you wore. Or how you looked. Your fitness or lack thereof. Nobody's going to be talking about any of those things. All they're going to talk about when we're gone is what we did. Our works are going to speak long after we... So that's why the memory of the just is blessed. The name of the wicked shall rot. There you go. Verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a patting fool. A talking or babbling, the footnotes in my Bible here says, a prating fool, just running his mouth, ratchet jaw, blah, blah. He's going to fall. The wise in heart, they will receive commandments. Prating fool is too busy talking to receive. The prating fool doesn't receive much. I like that old English word. We should bring it back. What do you think? Prating. The prating fool. Excuse me, are you prating? It appears that you're prating. It sounds as if you are prating. A prating fool. I had to actually pull it up in the English Standard Version. Yeah, it's a babbling fool. Babbling! It will come to ruin. Verse 9 says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely. But he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that perverteth his course shall be known. Verse 10, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. But there it is again. But a prating fool shall fall. Whenever Solomon does this every now and then, he does it on purpose. He'll go, did I mention a prating fool will fall? He repeats things just like that. He'll put them right beside each other often. But the winker, what is he doing? What's up with the winker? He's always winking. He's always playing some little game. He thinks he's sneaky. He thinks he's cool. He causes sorrow. Verse 11 says, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. A well of life, what comes out of it? I actually, and I'm sure I'll deal with it again next week with Dom, dealing with teens, teen males particularly. They're so much better when you just can hang out with them alone. You know, if you can just walk or just go sit over and have a... You can actually have a conversation. Add one other one. IQs just plummet. You can push the handle and flush, and then if you put them together in a dozen, you will find yourself going... Okay, so this was yesterday near sundown, and as it was, the way it worked, all the girls at camp are off getting their showers, getting refreshed. The guys are waiting by the campfire, tuning on my guitar. Try this sometime. Put 20 of those together, middle school males, and just try to have an intelligent conversation. I challenge you. You can take any one of them and say, let's go for a walk, and it'll be incredibly intelligent. It will be. Bring them back,
As soon as they all open their mouths together, their brains fall out. They just start pulling each other down in their IQ, and I find myself going, you guys, stop, everybody stop making noise. Stop, quiet, everybody quiet. I got a challenge for you, fellas. I have a challenge for you. Let's just try to only say things that are going to be benefiting the person that hears. Just try for a few minutes just to do that, just that. You know what followed? Oh, silence. Silence for a while. It was like they couldn't manage. I go, well, did I ask you too much? I have a lot of fun making fun of those guys. But I'm like, wow. Okay. And then even mockingly, one goes, hey, so-and-so, you're a very nice person. I go, all right, no. No, you got to mean it from the heart. See, that's, anyway. Fun bunch of people. You ever try to do this? If you take a group of guys, I've made the mistake. You take a group of young men, say, let's all go up on top of, like, Tunk Mountain. We'll do an all-night vigil, and we'll seek God. We'll build a fire, and we'll be under the big sky. You're, like, ready to, if you're like me, you can you guys talk about anything other than the movie you just saw? Can you talk about anything other than, anything intelligent? Is there any wisdom? Do you have any? And I'm telling you, the conversation just continually gravitates to, yeah, I remember that one movie with Jim Carrey. Oh, you know, Jim Carrey comes up, forget it, right? And once there was this guy, and that's how, honestly, that's just the conversation with all young men together. Good heavens. And you find that the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. What does a well do, guys? It produces what everybody needs. Violence covereth the mouth of the man. Verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Right, what does hate do? It stirs up. What does love do? Love covers. We should remember that. Love covers. Love doesn't readily expose somebody, get out there and show everybody, you know, you're stupid. No. Love covers. Love actually expresses itself by covering another. Remember Noah's three sons? Huh? You remember? That one never got covered in Sunday school. We got the Noah's Ark on the flannel graph. We never got the Noah tent on the flannel graph. Nor should we, with a 600-year-old Noah. Naked. Drinking. But he had one son that wanted to expose. Go look at Mr. Righteous! Go look at Mr. Holy! And the other two wouldn't look. They grabbed a garment and they did themselves a favor. And they backed up and they honored their father. And he knew it, right? But that's what love does. Love covers. Verse 13 says, in the lips of him that hath understanding wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Okay, guys. We don't use rods anymore. We've gotten way cool. We should. We quit caning people. We need to bring the... Listen, we do something crueler in the name of being humane. Instead of a good public beating, and I believe in it, I really do. I believe in due process before the public beating, but a public beating in early America, that got the issue dealt with, got the guy back to work. Instead of locking him up away from everybody that he loves and taking time and then putting him with all the other really stupid thinkers in crime school, in incarceration. But that's what when you see the rod, that is public caning. That was the beating. That was the elders of town are going to take action. A wrong's been done. Someone needs to be punished. We're just going to beat him. Sounds awful, doesn't it? It just sounds so cruel. No, what is cruel is what we now do in the name of being humane. It's awful, the things that happen in jail. Everybody who's ever been in jail can testify. That is crueler than any public beating could have been. Just give them a, just beat them. Beat them, make them do restitution, get them back to work. And get, anyway, so the rod. What's the rod for? Well, that's for the back of the one who is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge. They actually lay it up. They collect it and they store it. But the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. It's always right near total disaster. The mouth is. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. It's a terrible reality. You know, you can have some degree of security in this world, and you can also know your own poverty can be the thing that brings about your own destruction, and it's a sad reality. But the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, but the fruit of the wicked, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. That's what it leads to. Labor versus fruit. He that is in the way of life, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. If you refuse it, you're ripping yourself off. When we refuse reproof, we rip ourselves off. You see that verb, actually keep instruction or obey instructions? Verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. How about that one? That's not quoted much in church anymore. But a person that utters a slander is a fool. Slandering. Now, you guys know what slander is. That's a foolish thing for a person to do. Verse 19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In other words, the more words, the more likely sin is going to actually be expressed. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. It's a wise person that actually refrains his lips. Can you imagine a dog on a leash or a horse with reins? Whoa. People have to, we need, a wise person does that with his own lips. Puts reins on. Whoa, now, don't be saying that. Yeah. Verse 20, the tongue of the just is his choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Of little worth, even the heart. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. How about that? The lips of the righteous feed. Blessing in the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Real riches is defined by God. Verse 23, it's a sport to a fool to do mischief. Hey, all of us guys know that, right, fellas? It's a sport. It's total sport, and we know some guys who've gone pro. It's a sport to do mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. Do you remember when, I don't know if you guys went through that stage, I talked about men having a tendency to bring each other's IQs down, especially young men, adolescent males, doing the dumbest things with shopping carts and hills. You know what I'm talking about. And there's always that one guy that seems to be the stuntman. And then the total wreckage they think is funny. The guy goes through a chain link fence like a cheese grater, right? And everybody just laughs their heads off. This is the deal. It's a sport to a fool to do mischief. In verse 24, the fear of the wicked, and shall come upon him. The thing that the wicked man fears, it'll catch up, it'll come upon him. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. You guys have seen that, surely. Little dust devil in the parking lot. And you go, where'd that go? It's only there briefly. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Verse 26 is a tough one in the King James Version. As vinegar to the teeth, And as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Well, even if you don't understand the whole vinegar to the teeth thing, you do understand smoke to the eyes. We've all done that, right? Maybe you haven't had a swig of vinegar and just did that, but you've all been near the fire, the wind changes direction, and your eyes burn and you can't see. It's annoying, isn't it? Really annoying. That's what a sluggard is. A sluggard. To him that send him. Trying to get him to do something, right? Verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. All the things that they hope for and expect. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed. That's a statement of stability. But the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. That agrees with Psalm 37. In that Psalm, David says no less than three times, the meek shall inherit the earth, and the wicked are really temporary. Verse 31 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. English Standard Version, that last verse, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. That's one of those things you either have or you don't have, right? Knowing what is and is not acceptable to say. The mouth of the wicked only know what is perverse. Perverse. All right, come on, let's all stand together. We just did Proverbs 8, 9, and 10. Reading through, getting the sense. I don't know about you, I really do. I think I'm a little smarter already, just from the review.